Welcome to the second lesson, and we're diving deeper into the content here. After the benefits of reliability, another area to look at in the bigger picture is how we relate to other major disciplines or related areas of activity. Quality and reliability have had a long history, and I often joke that sometimes quality is just has a piece of reliability, but in fact, reliability is quality over time. You can quibble over which definition you prefer, but they are related. A very well-built, high-quality product will tend to last longer and be more reliable. On the other hand, or in a similar vein, items that are well-built and have a durability quality of reliability tend to be safer. And they obviously have other independent behaviors and characteristics. And let's explore each of those in a little bit of detail. The relationship is, in some organizations, they're all rolled into the quality organization, or maybe even into the design team, that they need to consider the safety aspects of the product or system they're building. They need to build it with high quality or a particular level of quality and the attributes that make up the quality characteristics of the product. And it has to last long enough and be reliable. Now, those could be broken out into separate disciplines and different groups or teams of people focusing on each one of those. Yet the concept of design for safety or design for quality or design for reliability are very similar in that they are characteristics of whatever it is the primary functions are as to how safely they do it, how well they do it, and how long they do it. It'd be one way to look at them. One diagram you may see fairly common with this approach is and it could even be a Venn diagram. It's where the quality and reliability and safety are all interrelated. And if you drew it actually as a Venn diagram, let me see if I can get my pen on here, they would tend to have spheres that would tend to overlap. And I'll expand the reliability, the safety one out. And let me clear that off and do it a little bit more accurately. It's because quality and reliability obviously overlap also. But there's areas where safety is on its own and where reliability is on its own and quality is on its own. Yet the notion is that all three of them can interact and reinforce each other. And by this I mean that a well-built, high-quality product that has the appropriate safety elements in it remains safe even after we go to production and the variability of production and use start to impact its performance. On the other hand, a well-built, safe product tends to be reliable in that it doesn't say a guard doesn't start to rattle because it's of poor quality. It's held in place appropriately, providing the safety function. But it also then is using appropriate materials so that it lasts long enough and doesn't corrode or degrade or become loose over time. Markedly, a reliability issue that would lead to a safety problem. So they are related. And there are parts and pieces of them that are independent. Let's dive in a little bit deeper. Now, quality is defined a number of different ways. It could be fit to use or meet specifications or meets customers' expectations, whatever that is. And we'll explore each of these kinds of quality a little more detail later in the course. But let's say that quality is a list of characteristics, and it could include the functions. What's it supposed to do if it's, a cell phone, that it should make phone calls? But another characteristic of a cell phone is, what size is it? What weight is it? Does it feel good? What materials is it made out of? What color is it? How bright is the screen? How easy is it to use? Does it have the right set of features that I need and not features I don't need? Does it last a long time, which would be the reliability element of this? Is it legal? Does it fit and conform to all the regulatory and safety regulatory type aspects of it? And is it serviceable? Can we replace it or charge the battery easily? Those kinds of aspects. So the one way to think of it is that there's this list of qualities. And Garvin did an article on 8 dimensions of product quality some time ago. I think it was in 2008 or so, or I'm sorry, 1988, where he wrote about these different characteristics. I've also seen lists where there was 14 characteristics. But there, it's a rather expansive list of the what makes up the gist of a product and to what extent is it made well. And so those are how I would roughly define quality. Now, reliability is, in some argue, like I mentioned before, is just one aspect of quality. It's the durability element of that. Now, reliability on its own obviously overlaps because we're talking about functions and that it should work in the user's environment. But what's unique to reliability is the probability and duration aspects of that. So these four elements we'll come back to as the definition of reliability. But the basic idea is that it should work over time. And whether we're dying into a serviceable system and we're talking about availability, or if it's a non-repairable system and we really don't want to have very many failures over some period of time. It's closer to what we would consider reliability. So you can see how they're related, quality and reliability, but the attributes of quality can degrade over time, and so it might lose its color, might degrade to some unwanted or undesirable color, or the metal may corrode, for example, or the circuit board may stop functioning. Those are reliability failure mechanisms, yet it's really the quality attributes and the manufacturing process and design elements that really make up that part. Now, for me, it really doesn't matter whether you call it a quality issue or a reliability issue. If it fails for the customer, it's a failure. And whichever team needs to be involved to solve that, then that makes sense. Now, let's talk about safety. And how does that relate to these things? Now, safety, roughly defined, is that it's, well, to use its own term, it's safe. It doesn't have hazards or defects or features or functions that would pose a danger. So, for example, a sharp edge that in a handle where you're expected to lift the weight, but if it has a knife edge basically built into it, that may cause damage to a person's hand and cuts and injuries. So that would be an unacceptable hazard. Now, on the high end of this, if something explodes or starts a fire or causes some other major kind of injuries, then may include death, it's generally something we consider unsafe or hazardous in some form. Now, some products are hazardous in and of themselves, and they would have safety precautions and barriers or guards included with them in their storage and handling and so on. But there's also the aspects of property damage and environmental harm that make up this world of safety. Now, the safety organizations, especially if you're dealing with hazardous materials or hazardous or dangerous type products that are inherently unsafe, say a surgeon's scalpel, there's rules and regulations and standards and so on that go to what's acceptable, giving us a guideline for what kind of guards, what kind of handles, what kind of weights, and what kind of markings and codes and so on that go into that. For example, let's consider just a circular saw, a handheld circular saw for cutting wood. Most saws, or all the saws I've ever seen, have a guard that covers part of the blade, and it exposes just the part of the blade to what you're cutting. Now, when it's used by somebody that's familiar with the safety features and how to manage and operate that saw, It's a perfectly safe device. Yet, if somebody disables that guard, the chance for cuts and for injuries is moved up quite a bit. On the other hand, if the quality of that guard is made, let's say they chose a brittle material and it's being operated on a cold day, it may shatter and pose an increase into the risk or the hazards of this particular device, of the saw. On the other hand, reliability may lead to a degradation of those material properties of the guard, and then it shatters or it doesn't operate correctly and gets in the way and creates a hazard for the operation of that equipment. So those are kind of negative examples of the relationship, and you can quickly see how these three areas are related. Now, safety has got the aspects of the regulatory elements of it, and that's separate from the quality and the reliability part. And there's different decisions on what is safe enough. And safety combined with the functions, you need to find the right balance for the benefit of the functions of your product, say that surgeon's scalpel, and the danger it poses being a sharp instrument. Same regards with reliability and with quality. There's a range of different decisions that are made in order to make sure that it all works appropriately. But you can quickly see that these three different aspects interrelate and, to a large extent, reinforce each other. Now, overall, on the top of that pyramid I showed earlier, is management. Now, they're the ones that are responsible. They're the ones with their name on the bottom line. They're the ones that are held accountable for the performance of the product. Now, it could be with the shareholders, or it could be in the legal cases, where if there is negligence or willful neglect, say they're creating a inherently hazardous material or product and using very poor quality on it, that could lead to litigation that would damage the company and, in some cases, go after the individual people that are involved, primarily the senior management team. The other aspect of this is that this concept of safety, reliability, and quality is something that really can't be abdicated. The senior management owns that in that they're not able to delegate the responsibility, but they are able to delegate the tasks and actions and goals and requirements of getting things done such that we achieve the quality, reliability, and safety elements of the product. So those are a couple different terms. There's many others, and there's some pretty decent reading to fill in some of the blanks from this quick overview of it. But basically, I look at reliability as quality over time. Now, of course, it does impact safety, and you may have a different view of that. That's fine. In the next section, we're going to take a look at what is it we do as a reliability engineer? Basically, what's our role?